Welcome to the Upcycle Canada podcast. I'm Jennifer, and together with my husband Dave, we started with an idea, worked on it as a side hustle, and grew it into our first eco-friendly store. At Upcycle Canada, we repurpose, refinish, and reuse discarded items, giving them new life. Sit in on the conversation as we continue to grow from a small side hustle into something much more. Special guests will drop by and share their journey with you as well. This is the most eco-friendly small business podcast in your favorites. This is Upcycle Canada, where yesterday's items are reborn. Let's do this.
Hi, everyone. This is Pam, and I'm from Maritime Moose, and I'm here on the Upcycle Canada podcast.
Yay! Yeah.
We clap for everyone.
We like to applaud. Welcome, Pam.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome to the podcast. Have you done a podcast before?
I have done one other podcast, yes.
Okay, and how'd that go?
It was good. It was very relaxing.
Is it better than us so far?
Oh, well, we'll see.
Okay, all right. I love your optimism. Good, that's good. That's great. So we connected through Instagram.
Yes.
And fell in love with what you do. We would love, a little side plug here, we would love to host your stuff in our store at some point. If we can talk about that in the future,
yes,
because it's beautiful and it fits with what we do at Upcycle Canada. Mm-hmm. So just a little plug there to think about, but we would love to talk to you about that in the future.
Yeah.
So introduce yourself, tell everybody about what you do, where you are in the world, and let's hear a little bit about Pam and about Maritime Moose.
Okay, so my name's Pam. I'm originally from Ontario. Which we call Unterrible now.
Unterrible, yes. Well done, here. Yes.
But I moved out to the East Coast in Chibucteague or Halifax, and I've been living out here for about 10 years now, maybe more, actually. Wow. And this is the first place I saw moose, and this is the first place I started to, like, slow down in life and really, like, experience nature and start my business, which is an upcycling business, which is rooted in, you know, my love for nature and the outdoors and saving the planet and whatnot. So at Maritime Moose, I upcycle mainly knitwear, and I take it apart and I make it into something new. So something knit or something crocheted. I'm getting into sewing now, so that's new and fun.
Nice.
Yeah, but everything's repurposed and zero waste.
Excellent. Are you self-taught then?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, my grandma and my oma, my mom taught me how to, like, do the basic stitches when I was like 5. But everything since then is like YouTube, pretty much.
That's great.
Yeah.
Awesome. And when you were in Ontario, was upcycling part of your life at all, or was it just when you moved to the Maritimes?
I mean, I've always been making stuff since I was little. I like, my dad's an architect, so he taught me how to build, like, how to make stuff with wood. I remember making, like, instruments out of floor planks when I was a child. So it's always been, I think, in the back of my mind, but it's not since starting the business that I really, like, dove into it. And, like, tried out a whole bunch of new kinds of upcycling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where are you getting your supplies from?
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, mainly from thrift stores.
Okay.
But as more and more people hear about it, I'm also starting to get donations, which is really cool. So if people have stuff that they can't resell or they can't donate or they don't want anymore, they're giving it to me.
Okay.
Do you get even, like, probably old blankets, like anything that's got a knitted texture to it, I suppose, sweaters and blankets and all kinds of stuff, right?
Yeah, even, like, cardigans or, like, knit t-shirts sometimes. I have some, like, woven blankets that have holes in them, and I realize those are really hard to take apart. I've had one of them for, like, almost a year now, maybe, and I can't take it apart. So I'm going to have to figure out another way maybe to sew with it to make something else, but bit of a fail.
So where did your inspiration come to even start this then?
With the knitting and crocheting, I think it started out of realizing, like, I wanted to sell handmade items And then realizing how much it costs to be sustainable and how much you end up having to charge people to have a sustainable knitwear brand is astronomical. Like it's not accessible. It was really born out of like wanting to have an accessible business as well. And so I put my time into unraveling instead of spending the money on, you know, like a sustainably sourced cotton or a local maker who like dyes all their own small batches of wool and stuff like that. So it's like a workaround for sustainability. Yeah.
It's kind of the same story for us. Like we started because we honestly didn't have money to buy material.
Yeah.
Like we really did not have anything. So we just started salvaging anything we could find and then repurposing it just so that we could start. Right. Yeah. And I think that's a big thing for people that have an idea is it's just how to start and where are you going to come up with the money to even get this thing off the ground, right? So
yeah.
I love that you're taking things that people are disposing of or that you're salvaging or finding and you're repurposing right from the beginning. It reduces your costs and you can do things for people, like you said, and you can create a product that's not going to be so expensive because of the amount of time and material costs that people can't afford, right? You can offer something wonderful, right?
Sorry, it's great. Can you hear that? People are jaw-dropping down my street.
That's awesome. On Asia? You can invite them in if they want to be on the podcast.
Okay, I think they're gone.
Invite them in, you know, or offer them a sweater.
No, and I think something too that I'm excited about that I just started doing a bit more. I had my first custom where someone gave me hand knit sweaters or sweaters that their kids had grown out of, and I unraveled those and made them into something new. So they just supplied me with their own
stuff.
That's
pretty neat.
And I gave them back their own stuff just like in a new form. Well, wow. I'm not done it yet. I'm almost done, but that's been a cool process of like I have a material that was given to me that's going back to the same person that's still gonna love it. But it's going to be a scarf and a headband instead of a sweater. So that's been really
cool. Amazing. I love it.
That is so good.
I have sweaters like from your grandma.
Yeah.
She made all the kids and stuff. And like what a neat. I've kept them just because they were made from her. But what a neat idea.
That's really nice.
To repurpose it to something they can still wear today. Yeah. Because they're little. They're just little baby sweaters.
Yeah. So, and, like, I have stuff, too, that's from, like, when my grandfather passed away or my grandma passed away, some of their, like, old wool knits or some of their old clothes I've now repurposed into stuff for the shop. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, you know what happens when you donate things. It's not as nice as you think it's going to be. A lot of it just goes to the landfill anyways. So it's kind of a cool way to use things up instead of getting rid of them.
Good. I love that. I love there's a story already built into the item.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're giving it to you. And people drop stuff off to us all the time. And I'm always really nervous around this because, like, don't put it in the wrong box or don't mix this up with anything. I got to keep this because there's a story attached to this thing and I'm giving it back. And I'm always just like super nervous that I'm going to mess it up.
Yeah.
But they're just like, here you go. It's my great grandmother made this back in early whatevers.
Oh, wow.
Just like kid gloves, right?
You to like repair like mend things or you repurpose like other people's?
Completely rip it apart and make it into something totally different.
Wow. Yeah, that would be really
rocking. Yeah, it is because you're just like, I don't want to screw this up.
No.
Because I can't. There's only so much material to work with.
Yeah.
And if I make a mistake, I can't fix that mistake.
You cut a long piece of wood, for instance, in half and you're like, oh.
You can't put really that back have to together. Plan out your work, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but I love that there's a story already in there. And in our store, that's one thing that we really try to talk to our customers about is the story behind the product.
Yeah.
Like you can go to a store and buy a piece of new material and make something, but there's no story.
Yeah.
Right? This came from aisle 5. Aisle 5.
That's right.
There's no connection, right?
Yeah.
But when you can tell the story behind it, people then buy the story and then the product is secondary to the story.
Yeah.
And that's what we connect with, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, that's so true.
So you must meet interesting people then in what you're doing, right? That find you on social media or in person at events or whatever. How's the response been from people who have crossed your paths in what you do?
It's been great so far. I mean, with COVID and everything, I haven't been able to meet as many people as I would have liked to.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of markets have been canceled and stuff like that of like in-person experiences. But I've been to a couple and it's been really awesome to see like other small businesses and getting to meet other people that are doing like not the same thing, obviously, but there is some really cool folks here also repurposing in like a different way. Or to meet people who have no idea what you do and to be like, it's not just knitwear. It's not just like handmade goods. It also is completely zero waste. And I do everything from the like unraveling to the washing to like the remaking into something new. And I think people are really surprised at how long it takes, but also like the transformation and the like, exactly like you say, the story behind every toque is a lot bigger with something that I make. It's a lot longer than some other people.
So how do you promote yourself? How do people find you on a regular basis?
That's a good question. I mean, I think right now probably just through Instagram. I'm starting a YouTube channel though, so hopefully that will change.
Nice.
See how that goes. Like you were talking about, I would like to teach other people how to do these sorts of things, how to unravel a sweater, how to like make basic upcycles that are easy to do with stuff you have in your house. So I think that's kind of like the next chapter of also like people finding out about this and trying it themselves.
So like one thing that we always are trying to do is just to build a community around what we do. What kind of things have worked for you as far as building community?
I mean, I think it's a lot easier than it used to be, maybe. I feel like, definitely at first, I felt alone in that I was like a knitwear brand and nobody else that I followed, like in my personal life, when I was into knitting, I was into crochet. It was all this very like fancy knitwear and like these expensive brands and like these gorgeous things, but I didn't really feel like I fit in. I think now, more and more, I'm finding a community of like makers and upcyclers versus like knitters and crocheters. I feel like I've found, you know, with you as well, like just people that are into more like repurposing anything around you rather than the product so much. And I think that's been really helpful through social media. It's just finding creative people that are have like a sustainability mindset versus like, you know, a brand or a, I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So when you look at the amount of waste that people purchase something, wear it a couple times and it's out the door, how does that make you feel as a maker in this space? Do you feel like what you're doing is making an impact? Do you feel like there's more to do? What motivates you then?
I mean, I think there's a lot more to do. I try not to think about the mass scale waste too much. It can be very depressing to think about every like huge clothing company that's creating an incredible amount of waste. I'm trying to focus more on like education. I think there's a lot of work to do in knowing like what's in your clothing and where it comes from, how to care for it better. I think we've lost a lot of old skills, if you will, like how to repair a pair of socks or how to mend like a hole in your sweater. And that's why a lot of the stuff I find at the thrift store has holes in it, because people don't know how to mend things anymore. So I think there's a long way to go, but I hope I'm making an impact. I think we're at the start of people like having a light bulb go off and really start to like look at the things you own and not just throw them out and not just donate them. Use what you have when you can and do something important with it. I think, like, at least in my circles, more and more people are talking about that. Especially, I mean, I went to school for marine biology, so a lot of people I know are aware that, you know, the ocean is rising and the world is burning. And so they understand the problems, but they don't know what to do about it. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're noticing, too, that our demographic for our business, we would think, is a certain age group, but it's getting younger.
Yeah.
Which is great. I love the fact that people younger, like we have at our store, we have Paige. We hired her at 14 years of age.
We didn't know she was 14.
We didn't know she was 14. She started as a customer at 13.
I know. Yeah. Crazy.
And she came in at 13 years of age and she fell in love with what we do because she was already passionate about upcycling.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's, for me, that it was shocking because usually it would be her parents that we would anticipate would shop in our store.
Right.
But she brought her parents to the store.
Yeah.
And that made us feel so good that we're able to reach into a generation that really wasn't at top of mind to us when we first opened.
I think the thing for Paige, too, the thing that hooked her, too, was the stories. Again, all the stories behind all the products that we have. She just loved to hear all the stories for everything we've done and stuff like that. So that's what hooked her, I think, specifically herself.
Yeah, well. And shopping with purpose. Okay. I think that's the other part, right? Like when you can buy something online on my phone, I can click it and it'll be here today. Well, it's convenient, yeah, but, you know, I could buy 10 shirts right now and maybe wear them once or twice and then I just buy another one, you know, and there's a mindset that needs to change, I think, in the convenience of shopping online, for example, right? So I love that you're taking things that have been loved and then repurposing. That's just, it's really, really admirable.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and that's what caught our eye. So I'm just on your Instagram right now and like, wow, like, is there somebody helping you with this? Is this all you on your Instagram?
It's all me.
Wow. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. You're like, it's great to interact with. I love how you have your Instagram page. And we're going to share that, obviously, here in the podcast with Maritime Moose on Instagram. And you definitely have to go and follow Pam for sure. Like, yeah.
One thing I was also wondering, because you mentioned about people wanting to see, like, the process of what you've done. And you were talking about having the YouTube channel. So that's definitely an opportunity, I think, for you in the future to show the steps of where, like, your sweater you had with the hole in the armpit and just kind of how you've brought it from one thing and developed in all the stages, I think is a really cool opportunity. So,
yeah. I think it's hard to capture in a picture as well.
Sure.
And it's even hard to capture when people are just seeing the finished product, like at a market or something. It's, you know, I've thought of like bringing like a half undone something with me to be like,
nice.
You don't understand. This is where it started.
A lot
has happened. So I think video is really awesome for that. I think you can connect a lot more with a story through video and through like a storytelling, something like that, where you see the whole journey of a product that was disheveled and then it gets brought back into something else. So, yeah.
So yeah, you touched on it earlier about the products have a story. But then as makers, like we do the same thing. We just take the end shot, post it on Instagram, we're done. But people want to know the story behind how you
got there,
did the process of making it, just as much as they want to know the story behind the material and how it got to you, right?
Yeah.
So as makers, we talk about the story all the time and then we just, we forgot the story part.
You get so excited about wanting to do it and it's like, I should have taken a first, like a before picture.
It takes a lot more time to be taking footage of stuff while you're doing it. Mm-hmm. So it's like a whole learning process of, I get excited too. I'm like halfway, I've unraveled a sweater halfway and knit something with it before I take a picture. And it's like, I need to document some of this. It's been a whole journey already.
It's interesting. I think by doing that and showing it on YouTube will be great. Instagram obviously is great. I think when you can take away the the built-in cynicism that people have when they're like, yeah, but you didn't really make that.
Right.
No, mm-hmm. I really made that. Mm-hmm. So we do events. Jen, basically, we go together. Jen basically does the customer service side. Mm-hmm. I sit there and I work on, we do hand-painted signs on recycled wood.
Yeah.
So I'm actually painting live in the booth and they're like, catches people. They stop. They're like, what? He's actually working on something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like you actually make this.
Yeah.
Right. And I like the fact that you can actually do that. And there was one time I heard a vendor say, and it bothered me to hear this, but she was alone in her booth and somebody came up to her and said, oh, does your dad make these for you? And she's like, what are you talking? I made these.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So then she's like, okay, in my next booth, I'm just going to be demonstrating a little bit of how my process is. Because
yeah.
I want people to connect with, oh, you really do make.
Yeah.
You didn't just buy this from somebody and you're That's reselling right. it. So many vendors do that, but you're actually the person.
Yeah.
And then that opens the door to custom work. That opens the door to trusting you with grandma's special thing that I only have one of. Can you please yeah. make something from this? Yeah. Right. There's a connection with the person, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And that's what we appreciate in doing live events when they're available.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. We haven't been to one in a long, we have one coming this spring though. Yeah, we've done a couple times, but yeah. there's another one coming this spring that we've done a few years in a row, but it's been about 2 years now. So.
Is the Maritimes opening up to events in the future, do you think?
Yeah, we're on kind of like a long-term opening plan. Like, I think it's over 3 months. They're slowly opening things. So there's some craft shows planned for the end of March and April, I think, is when like the big shows are trying to reopen again. So we'll see how it goes.
Hmm.
So where do you sell your products?
Mostly online. Like,
okay.
95% of my stuff is all online right now. A couple markets, like I said, I apply to go sell at a booth. And then I also have some products in Ilnug Clothing Company in Millbrook First Nation here in Mi'kma'ki in Nova Scotia. And okay. that's it.
Really?
Yeah.
And when you're selling online, are you selling it through your Instagram or do you have a like Shopify or something?
Yeah, I have a Shopify. I have my own website.
Okay.
So you can find everything on there. That's been a learning experience as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's nice to have like a home for all your things. I think it helps. You can tell your story however you want. You're not reliant on a platform doing well or not doing well. I like it. I think it's nice.
Have your products made their way from where you are to other places in the world?
I've sent, I think probably Australia is the farthest place I've sent.
Wow.
Products. It's one of my friends too. It's not a real brag.
Yeah.
He lives in Australia.
Yeah.
But it's cool to see your stuff in different places. Definitely like the US and Canada, I would say are the main sellers. Yeah.
Right. So we have 36 countries listening to you right now.
That's yes. cool.
What do you want to say to the 36 countries? We're really big in Iran Australia. For some reason.
Yeah.
So the people in Iran, in Germany, Egypt, wherever, what would you like to say to this global audience that are just can't wait to buy something from Maritime Moose? What do you want to tell them?
Well, I ship worldwide.
Perfect.
That's good.
I think, yeah, if you need something, if you need a new toque, hit me up. I can make you one. But if you don't need anything, then I can maybe teach you how to upcycle.
Oh,
because wonderful. I really believe you should only buy what you need. But if you need yes. something, I have like all kinds of home goods and winter clothing and all kinds of stuff. And cat toys now. That's exciting.
Cat toys.
I didn't know that. Wait. I saw that. They're so cute.
Yeah, they're sold out right now, but I'm going to make some more. Yeah.
So our cat's name is Liam.
Oh.
He's very particular. He's how old is he?
Oh, he'll be 15.
15.
This year, yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, he runs the house.
He was meowing earlier.
He needs some Maritime Moose in his
Absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, so we're going to place an order. So let us know when they're ready. Awesome. We're going to order from you, and it's a gift for Liam. He doesn't get a lot of mail. So we want to give him a gift from the Maritimes.
That's right.
From Pam.
Absolutely.
Maritime Moose, right?
That'd be great.
He will be so happy. He'll purr for days.
I know.
And days.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm surprised. Like, my cat, she's really good. She doesn't get into, like, too many. She's really good. She listens. She's like a dog sometimes. But I don't think she's noticed how much catnip is on the table. I'm glad because it could be a real problem, but she hasn't noticed it happening. I've made her take course. She has her own stash, but
that's so crazy.
So Pam, your stuff is not just one season though, right? You have products for all the different seasons then, right?
Yeah, I've been through kind of 1.5 full years now. So I started with just one kind of collection of summer stuff. That was my first year doing it. So in the spring, I'll probably come out with like summer clothing. And then in the fall is usually when I come out with like a whole line of toques and scarves and stuff like that.
What are the top two things that sell really well for you?
Oh, that's a good question. I sell so many different things. Probably, the toques are always a hot seller, especially out here. And then probably headbands is probably number two. So, like, toques and headbands are always a good one to get.
Do you do, like, mittens and all that, too, or just scarves? Like, do you do mittens as well? That's one thing I never learned how to do.
Yeah, it's hard to get them both to look the same. I just put up my first pair of mittens in the shop like a couple weeks ago. That was the first, my first go around. But now I have some fleece that I found at a thrift store. So now I can make some nice like mittens that are fleece lined that are actually going to keep you warm all winter instead of being like some cute, like nice looking mittens.
And they're all airy and not warm yet. Exactly. Definitely having the lining is good. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cute.
And I see stuff for babies as well, little hats and little booties and everything. Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah.
That's great. And, throw it like a curveball here. You post a picture of something you made out of wood.
Yes.
I'm like, what's going on here? I'm like, hey.
Yeah.
And you're so proud. You posed on it. You did the whole thing. I'm like, yeah. That's great.
Yeah, I tried to get into woodworking, but it was like, I've always known the basics, but I would like to get into it more. And I bought a table saw and I have a whole bunch of tools and I got all ready. And then the price of wood skyrocketed and I couldn't get into woodworking anymore. So yeah, at my old job, there was like, we got a lot of shipments on like huge pallets and like things with like all of these just like 4x4s like coming in, all this different kind of wood coming in that they would throw out. So I just started stashing it and then bringing my car up and loading it into my car. So now I have a whole bunch of like plywood and studs and a whole bunch of stuff that I can learn woodworking with. So that's been fun.
I love using repurposed wood for the sake of learning.
Yeah.
Like I said, when we first started, we had no money. And that's how Upcycle Canada started, was we just couldn't afford it. So I was learning how to do woodworking as well. And if I make a mistake on a piece of free wood, I felt a little less intimidated that it didn't cost me anything. So I was free to make mistakes and learn the process.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, then kind of build up.
Directions. I like to just figure things out. And so inevitably, like, I do waste things. But we have a fire pit. And so that's where it... That's where the wasted wood goes, is for our evening fires.
One thing I've done for custom orders and just in general with Dave is, hey, someone showed me a picture of how to, you know, how can you? So basically I've given him a photo and asked him to figure it out and he's done it.
Yeah.
So it's not easy, but I don't know if you ever have, like, look at something, and do you even know where to start? Like, what is your inspiration? Do you have ideas when you see it and you can go, oh, I know what this is going to be? Do you have any sort of patterns that you've sort of gone to as a go-to, or?
I have learned how to, for most things, I've learned how to just knit, like toques and headbands and stuff like that. I pretty much can just knit like from my brain, because patterns a lot of the time you have to have a certain weight of yarn. And like,
right.
If you unravel a sweater, I don't know how to measure
Interesting.
And so right, I kind of just have to try different sizes of needles. And then I'm like, okay, I have this, it works. I'll knit a toque. For other things, like a lot of crochet, I'm still learning how to do more intricate stuff. So I have to go learn. I find video, like for me, the easiest way. I'll watch. Sometimes I crochet along with people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's so much content online of like people teaching anything you could ever imagine. So I've been learning a lot. Today I learned how to make pom-poms. That was new.
Fun.
Yeah.
I learned how to do a heart shape, crocheted heart shape for Valentine's just recently. I've listened and followed every instruction. And then I'm like, I'd have to listen to it again to do a second one. But yeah, it's definitely one of those things, you know, it's, I knew all the steps, like I knew all the stitching, but it's just the pattern of it. I would have to write it down or whatever, but.
Yeah. There's so much content out there, right?
Yeah.
It's wild. People are so helpful. Like when you find a good teacher that just explains something to you in a way that makes sense. I mean, it's inspiring also to want to make content like that to teach people how to do things.
Yeah, and
right, for sure.
I watch, like, there's this person, Cool Erpa, on YouTube. I don't know if you sew, but I didn't, and I watched that, and I was like, well, I got the sewing machine out, and, like, she just inspired me to learn how to do things. It was amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a sewing machine as well that your grandfather gave me. I've sewn some basic stuff for the kids when they were little and some curtains and stuff, but my mom was always the sewer in the family. And so I learned how to knit instead. But yeah, I she's definitely shown me how to even use the machine and stuff. So I need to sit down and basically take some time to do that too. So it'd be.
So you have that in your mind then for content for Maritime Moose on YouTube then?
Yeah, I think there's so many, I'm always up to something. And so I feel like I should be sharing it. I think it's, some of it's interesting. Some of it's just a lot of mistakes and learning. So, yeah.
It's interesting because I've heard people say that there's nothing new under the sun, right? Everything's been done.
Yeah.
But people connect with the person.
Yeah.
So if I want to learn how to sew, there's probably a ton of people I could follow, but if I already have a connection with Pam at Maritime Moose, I'm waiting for Pam. I don't really, even if Pam went and learned from Jen and then Pam did a video, I'm waiting for Pam's video.
Yeah.
Because I have a connection with you.
Right.
Right. You made that thing for me from my grandmother. So I'm waiting for Pam. So you have an audience already that's kind of just waiting, right? That are following you and interact. I can see they're interacting with you. It's great. So you've already got the platform.
Yeah.
Right. Which is awesome.
And I think people learn those things.
Yeah.
Like maybe not everybody has the time to learn those things, but yeah, if you can inspire someone to repurpose like one thing, I think that's worth it.
I think any kind of content creation is always start with the answer to the question, why?
Yeah.
You know, why am I doing this? Right. Why would I do a YouTube? Because now it's going to be time and effort. But if you know your why and you know that your audience, you can help somebody.
Yeah.
There might be somebody who could be like Paige, 13, 14 years old, and they're just looking for somebody who can inspire them.
Yeah.
Right. And that could be you, which is daunting in a sense, right? Like, who am I? And that's the imposter syndrome that I'm not good enough, or that person over there is better than I am. So we'll just. No, you have an audience already. There, I can see them. So they're just waiting for Pam, you know, and I'm excited to see how this goes, knowing that we're early in the stage of YouTube Maritime Moose. I can't wait. We want to be there and follow along too.
Yeah, so. I think I'll probably be upcycled Pam on.
Okay.
On
so it's going to be.
So you can. There is a channel okay. there. There are no videos yet, but you can go okay. follow and like.
We'll put a link.
Maybe you'll get notified. Yeah, when the first one okay. comes out.
Okay. We'll put a link. We'll have everybody hit that little bell and tell them that when you come on and yeah. boom, instant audience.
Yeah.
Around the world. So there you go. So we'll all be waiting for you. It's yes. great. So we're going to close off soon a little bit because I know you got lots to do. You got people driving up down the road that need your attention. So how, if there's somebody in their life right now and they want to do something, they want to learn, they want to start a business. Whether that's a side hustle, they have a full-time job and they want to do something on the side. What would be your encouragement to somebody listening or watching that would just be the little push, a gentle push to just start? How would you encourage them?
I think I struggled with that a lot too. When I first started, I really used to want everything to be perfect and I used to want to prepare for so long before I posted anything. And the thing that helped me was just doing one small thing. So like for me, it was posting one thing on Instagram. And now I look back and those pictures are terrible. And I would never post something like that now. But just getting into the habit of like posting one thing every day or, you know, telling one person about what you're doing. And then you are responsible because now you've started and it helps you keep going. And that helped me a lot, because as soon as like I started to get one person that was excited about that one picture I posted, you know, even if it was like my brother, it helped me keep going and it made me just start. So yeah, the starting is the hardest part, but there's always going to be people that are into what you're doing. And even if it's just your friends at first or your family, like you're going to have support when you first start.
It's funny for us when we do a podcast, we tell people, new people that are starting a podcast, that every podcast and every episode starts with zero listeners.
Yeah.
Nobody's heard the podcast. It's been a day. It's been 2 days. No one has every single podcast from Joe Rogan or whatever, the millions and millions down to people who are just starting out. Every single podcast, every episode starts with zero. Every Instagram account starts with zero followers.
Yeah.
Every YouTube channel, zero followers. And what I love is by sharing the journey with people and having them kind of come along with you and on the ride, is they get to say in the future, I knew Pam when ... right? Back before she had YouTube, back before Maritime Moose, I knew her and now look at her. And now you become the topic of conversation. You're not even there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, Jen, did you know what Pam's doing? Right. You should know about Pam. We're talking about Pam. And your community just multiplies on their own.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like when you know a famous person from when they were young, before they were right. famous.
Yeah.
And it's like a topic of conversation.
Yeah.
So like Jen's sister went to high school with Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, and back then he didn't. He was Jim Carrey. He was just a high school kid.
Yeah.
Right. But it's like now you can tell that story, right? Yeah. Because you knew them before. Mm-hmm. And people are going to say the same thing about you and about Maritime Moose is I knew Pam back before all of this great stuff happened, which are coming for you in the future. Things. Right.
Yeah.
And which is great because
it's easy to get to keep going when it's something that you're passionate about. Like there's, if you want to start something that you couldn't really talk about for hours at length, maybe don't. But if you can, if it's all you talk about or all you think about and you're really excited about it, then it's going to be easy to get
started. So even if you were working, for instance, as a full-time job, and this would be your part-time side hustle kind of thing, you know, knowing that it's something enjoyable to go home and continue to work.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I know I have a full-time job. I come home and still do other things aside from my full-time job. But it's when it's fun, like you said, and you enjoy doing it, you like talking about it, it's still relaxing, even though you're still technically working. So that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. You wouldn't be able to work this much if you didn't really love it.
That's right.
It's great. It's something that lights you up.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it's your passion. And your passion is yours, and I love when a community comes around your passion and encourages you. So what can people do to help Pam and Maritime Moose grow and get your message out there? What can people do listening?
You can go check out my Instagram and maybe share it with either somebody that needs to change their habits a little bit or someone that's super into sustainability that would really like it. And you can go find me on YouTube at Upcycled Pam and be ready for when I start posting content there.
How long until we're going to see something?
Yeah.
Soon?
I know. Soon? I started telling people about it. This is another thing I've learned. If you want to do something, you have to tell people because then you have to do it.
You're committed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Accountability.
So you're only telling 36 countries right now, so no pressure. No pressure, but yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Do you have any more questions for Pam?
Not that I can think of. No.
So Pam, anything we can do to support you, help you, likes and shares, comments, all that stuff that we can do to kind of support you, we will love to do that as well.
Awesome.
We talked about maybe having your stuff here in Ontario. That would be fun too. So keep us in mind for that. Our cat.
Like what kind of, you know, products would fit well with all your stuff, and we'll get right in there.
So Liam here, our cat, has his paw up. He wants cat toys in our store. So put that in your mind. We definitely have to have that for Liam. We don't have anything for cats in our store at all right now.
No.
Nice. So we need that for sure.
Dog stuff, but as far as like dog treats, but no cat stuff. No. So that would be great. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out. So these cat toys come from my dad. He's an architect. He was working on a project and they had all these fabric samples that they didn't know what to do with them. So of course he gave them to me. So I get all the garbage. But so once I'm done with these, I have to figure out where to get, you know, old upholstery maybe or something else.
So I have a suggestion for you.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
We have about 3 or 4 interior designers who have contacted us. They come in with all of their end of line samples.
What?
So we get tile, we get marble, we get leather, we get fabric, we get like it's their whole books of everything. Sample like they'll come in with a whole binder with all the little pieces, and it's just a whole binder full
pages
of fabric.
Pages of fabrics and
and they don't know what to do with it.
That's amazing.
And they feel horrible throwing it away. So
it's good that they're giving it to you. Yeah,
right.
So any interior designers in your area, and we're going to share this out, and we're going to start tagging them and sending them your way. But donate all your samples.
Yeah,
your end of line
is great for cat toys. It's like super durable. So I got to get my hands on more.
Awesome.
Of that. But yeah, more are coming for sure.
So if you can go like and follow any interior designers in your area, and just say, "Hey, I'm Pam from Maritime Moose. I could use those."
Yeah.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
We have people showing up at the store with armfuls of stuff now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. What we tell people is just bring it. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We don't turn anything away unless it's crazy, but we will try.
Yeah.
So that's great. And when you become the answer to somebody's dilemma, you have everything you need. So
perfect.
Good job.
Yeah.
Good job. So anything we can do to help you, let us know. We will definitely like to do that. People can find you on Instagram, Maritime Moose.
Yeah.
Upcycled Pam. On YouTube.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. Anything else they need to do?
Website, I think you said.
Yeah, maritimemoose.ca. You can go check out everything I have. Sort of the clothing is like left over from the latest collection. And then all of the home, like sustainable stuff, like produce bags and dishcloths, those are always there. I also have yarn. So if you're a knitter, I also put up some yarn from sweaters that I either have like a mini amount left over, or if I don't know what to do with it, I'll put it up there. And then the cat toys, which will be coming hopefully soon.
Awesome.
Wonderful.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
Yeah.
So one thing we like to throw at the end of the podcast, Pam, is a secret word.
Okay.
And it's for the people that have listened all the way to the end.
Ooh.
They're still here with us. So thank you for that. And you're going to get a bonus here from Pam. So we like to do is we send something off in the mail. We ask people to give us the secret word. They DM us, email, whatever. Contact us with the secret word from this episode from Maritime Moose, and we will send them something in the mail. Cool. Just to say thank you for listening. So you get to pick the word, and it can be any word you want, but only people who respond with this word will actually get whatever we can send them in the mail. So do you have a word in your mind?
That is a good question. I'm going to overthink.
You can pick whatever you like.
This is bad. Let's do antler. How about that?
Oh.
I like it.
Antler. That's a great one. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Did you want to hear my moose story before we go?
Yes, I do. I thought of it a few times. I'm like, I need to hear the story.
You teased it, too.
Tease it, right? Now, if I don't do it, we're going to get in trouble, right?
I know.
So I've shared it with Pam already, so we're old friends.
Oh, yes.
So we'll bring you up to speed with the conversation we had.
Okay, thank you.
So I love Maritime Moose because it's cool, and that's why we did the dancing moose on our Instagram post, because that was kind of, that was kind of funky. So when I was in high school in Inglehart, Ontario. I don't know if you know where Inglehart, Ontario is. It's like 2 hours north of North Bay.
Okay.
So in the old days, we had paper maps, and you'd actually have the map of Ontario.
Yes.
And then there's the other side of the map.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was Northern Ontario. Yeah. You flip it over. Yeah.
That's where you lived.
Yeah, I lived on the other side of the map. Okay. So anyway, so I was riding my bike through the neighborhood. I was like 14, maybe 13. 13, 14. I came around this corner. There's all these cars parked on the side of the road. And I'm like, that's weird. So I'm riding my bike. I turn the corner and there's a full size adult moose standing right there. Everybody's in their car.
And
no one's
on
getting
bike.
Out. And I'm like less than 4 feet away from this moose's nose. And it's looking right at me. And I'm like, right. And then I'm like, no. So I'm like backing up and it starts to trot towards me. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I'm like, quickly turned around. It followed me through this guy's carport while he was washing his car. He banged his head on the roof, on the inside of his car, because this moose just ran by him. And it chased me through town. So I've been chased by a moose. So there's a little bit of fear when I saw Maritime Moose that I have like reenact all this.
That's
talking
right.
to Pam.
I know.
But she's so kind. That she put me to ease.
She's not as intimidating.
No. So I have a newfound love for moose because of what Pam's doing in the Maritimes.
Yes.
And so now she's healed my memories of moose. And now I feel at one with the moose.
Perfect.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you for
helping me with my memories. This therapy session was brought to you by Maritime Moose. And the Upcycle Canada podcast.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is when we get punchy. This is punchy. You're asking what punchy is? This
I've
is punchy.
I've never heard punchy. I was interested to see what it would mean, but...
Okay, so hashtag punchy right here. This is what it is.
She has to go back and look at your rant.
Oh, yeah. Sometime if you ever get a chance, go look at my rant on Instagram.
With the cowbell on Instagram.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a video back...
That's me.
Fall.
That's me. Punchy
that's
times
his
two.
Punchy time. Yeah.
Punchy totally. Times two.
Punchy so, times two.
I'm actually quite introverted and quiet, despite what Jen might say. And so, yeah. So this is me being crazy. So
amazing.
But thank you so much for your time, Pam.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we just want to encourage you.
Yeah.
Keep doing what you're doing. You have fans here in Ontario. We're excited for you, and we can't wait to see the progress.
Yes.
Awesome.
Don't stop.
No.
Stop.
She's going to sing.
Amazing.
All right. This is it.
Perfect.
Thank you so much. Antler.
Antler. Don't forget.
Antler.
Just one.
Okay. Just one. Everybody put up one.
Why? There we go. Antlers. That's the word.
Perfect.
Antlers. Yeah.
Okay. Antlers. Antlers. Moose.
Plural.
Okay. Antlers. Moose. Go.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
So now you have a sewing buddy.
I do.
And a knitting buddy and a crocheting buddy right there.
Yes.
In the Maritimes.
That's cool.
Thank you for your time.
Awesome. Thank you.
Go get to work. Okay? You got stuff to do. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right.
All right, thanks.
This has been the Upcycle Canada podcast. Thanks for listening today. We appreciate your feedback and would love to connect with you. Email your questions, comments, or suggestions to upcyclecanadapodcast@gmail.com. To find out more about our business and access links to all our social media sites, podcast notes, and more, please visit upcyclecanada.ca. A review of this episode on the podcast app of your choice is always appreciated. Please help us build this community by sharing our podcast with your family and friends. Our thanks to Jacob Moon for the instrumental backing track used in this podcast. Please visit jacobmoon.com for more on this talented Canadian artist. Join us again for more great topics, ideas, and practical steps to help you in your daily life. Thank you for listening. Let's keep this conversation going.
Hey, this is Dave. You're like, what's this music? I thought the podcast was over. Well, it is. This is actually an ad. Oh, you're like, an ad. But this is different. This is for another podcast called, ready? Dad Space. Dad Space is a podcast created for dads by dads. Head over to dadspace.ca for all the information. And we would love, if you know a dad, if you are a dad, if you've ever had a dad, if you know a new dad, a current dad, an empty nest dad, we have a podcast just for dads. And I'd love to share it with you and to share it with a special dad in your life, dadspace.ca. Thank you for listening to the podcast you've already been listening to. But if you want a little bit more podcasting greatness, check out dadspace.ca, dadspace.ca, for all the goodness for your favorite dad. Aw, it's like a Father's Day present every day. We'll see you over at dadspace.ca. Thanks for listening to all of our podcasts, and we'll talk soon. This is Dave, and I'll meet you at dadspace.ca. Cheers. And now we dance.